in our view, one of these items getting in the wrong hand is one too many.
Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm Sarah Kaczmarek. Since 1991, the Department of Defense reported transferring more than $6 billion worth of its excess equipment to more than 8,600 federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies. This equipment includes militarized, controlled items, things like night vision goggles, simulated rifles, and simulated pipe bombs. I sat down with Zena Merritt, a director in our Defense Capabilities and Management team, and Wayne McElrath, our director of investigations in our Forensic Audits and Investigative Services team, to talk about this program. So first I asked Zena to explain how this program to transfer property is supposed to work.
You have law enforcement agencies who can be potential recipients of DOD excess property, like militarized property such as rifles and simulated pipe bombs and other things that have been used for training purposes that DOD no longer needs. Essentially, they are able to apply, and if they're approved, they're given a unique code in which they're allowed to go online, view the items, and quote-unquote bid on them. If they win the items, what they do is they're allowed to actually go to the warehouses where they're located and pick up the items either physically or they can have the items shipped to them. However, all of the items are free. The only cost that they may occur is with transportation costs if they actually have them shipped to them.
And not just anybody is supposed to be able to get access to the program, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so Wayne, how did you go about testing how you can get access to the program?
The way that we tested the controls relative to this program is that we established a fake law enforcement organization, as Zena indicated. We then submitted our application and bidded on those items.
And what were you able to obtain?
Well, we actually had access to the full range of excess surplus military items that were available. But we chose our bid on training rifles, simulated pipe bombs, scopes, night vision goggles, things that weren't exactly lethal.
And tell me about the total amount that you were able to get a hold of.
We were able to obtain approximately 100 items that totaled a value of approximately $1.2 million.
And these were things that you shouldn't have been able to get as a fake law enforcement agency.
As a private individual, we should not have had access to these items.
Zena, earlier you told me how this program is supposed to work, and clearly it's not working that way. What would you say are the main problems here?
The biggest problem is that DLA's internal control processes for this program were really broken. We found, for example, that when we applied for the program as a fake organization, no one ever even called us to verify our information. They didn't attempt to come out to the location to visit us. Secondly, when the investigators went to the location, they were actually able to get the items without presenting the proper identification. Third, they were able to get a quantity of items that wasn't consistent with what we bid for. Actually, we got more items. And fourth, we found that they just don't have a framework in order to do fraud mitigation at all stages of the program. Essentially, that puts any organization at risk of this happening again.
Given these problems, I wondered how DOD can ensure it's actually transferring property to the law enforcement agencies and not others posing as law enforcement. So I asked Zena to walk me through the recommendations in the report.
The first recommendation centers around just improving internal controls. We found that if they were to just take extra steps to verify who the applicants are, visit their locations, this would definitely help with that first stage of the process. They did start verification while we were doing our review, so that's a good sign, but they still have more to do. Secondly, at the actual disposition sites where you pick up the items or the warehouses themselves, they have guidelines in which people are supposed to present their identification and it's supposed to be checked. So if they were to actually maybe do more spot checks of the personnel working there to ensure that they are doing this, that would help. The third recommendation centers around just simple accounting. If they were to actually look at what's requested, compare it when they're packing the items before the individual shows up to make sure they don't have less of a quantity or more of a quantity or the right items, that would also help them. Lastly, what we're suggesting is that They implement a comprehensive framework for fraud risk mitigation.
So finally, I want to ask both of you what you see as the bottom line here. Wayne, I'll turn to you first.
Well, we're hoping that our efforts will make it more difficult for these items to end up in the wrong hands. You know, they could potentially end up in the hands of terrorists, criminals, or also be sold to other unauthorized individuals. We definitely want to prevent that from happening. Then also, through our effort, DLA should be more efficient and effective at preventing, deterring, and detecting fraud, waste, and abuse, as well as security issues associated with this program.
And finally, Zena, the last word to you.
Sure. I just can't reiterate enough what Wayne just said, because in our view, one of these items getting in the wrong hand is one too many.
Thanks for listening to the Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on iTunes. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.